Okay. And now I'm going to turn it around to the audience and see if you can see them. I'm doing this carefully. And can you see our audience, some of them anyway?
Yes, I can.
Are you waving? Everyone waving? And not everyone has quite gotten back from their very short break. I'm sorry, I've been, you know, sort of a taskmaster here. I haven't let them eat dinner for very long. Because, you know, here you are, and we were running late, and I didn't want to make you wait. So, okay, here we go. Now we're turning around so I can have control of this camera. And I'm turning the camera off until we're ready for the Q&A. He's gonna take your questions. He wanted to see what you look like and who you are. So when he answers you, he can... he's quite psychic, and he will be able to give you quite some good information. Now we've got you full screen. Full screen.
I'll scream as much as you like.
Okay. No, we've got you full screen, and I think you sound great. So we are recording. Yes. We are recording this. So we will have it. Okay. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Kerry. Well, first of all, a great thank you to Kerry and the team for inviting me, not just to speak here at Malta, but at the other venues in the London area. Very, very grateful to have the opportunity. It's the first time I've spoken to a conference in Malta, and it was nice to have a quick chance to have a look at you guys. Kerry says that some of you are very adept at the business. You've been, you know, investigated for many years, and some of you are quite new to it. So the topic of my discussion or talk today is the future, the economic, political, and social, and will hidden knowledge be released? But before I start that, I just want to check, and I'm going to ask you to give a show of hands, and then Kerry can give me some idea of what response. Could you just put your hand up if you're familiar with my work? And then Kerry can just count and see as a percentage.
Okay, quite a large portion of our audience. I'm just going to stand up and make sure I'm getting everybody. Yeah, most of, a good two-thirds of the audience are familiar, and then there's just a few people that haven't raised their hands, so they're going to have a real treat.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm hoping that everyone will get a real treat.
Okay.
What I'll do then, for the 25% or 25%, I'll just do a very brief history of who I am and how I got to this point, and then I'll do the presentation. I'm aware that I don't have any slides to show you, and it can get a bit monotonous just hearing and seeing a person going on. So when we get to a point where we think we've had enough, then we can either have a 5-minute break or we can go straight into the question and answers. So, okay, I've been in the eye of the public for about 6 years now, and wasn't always the case. I came from an unusual family background. My mother worked for what we call the Domestic British Security Service, the BSS, which we would all know as MI5, and my grandfather worked for what's more correctly called the SIS, and that's, you know, the Security Intelligence Service, which we would call MI6. But although we're talking back in the 1960s and 1970s, my mother worked really for the National Security Agency of America, and my grandfather worked for the CIA. And because both my grandfather and mother were British subjects, they had to be managed by the intelligence country. But America takes all intelligence, and it has done for a very long time. So the job of my mother was to, on an old-fashioned German typewriter, to type out documents which had arrived from a group of German scientists in the British and American part of Berlin. Back in those days, Germany was divided up. And these documents, which were in German, related to crashed alien spacecraft, which had been brought down or had crashed all over the globe and had been recovered parts of it and recovered by American special teams. The documents never explained the circumstances of how those craft came down. They were all very similar in the layout. It was basically, this is the technology that we think we've got from this craft. What could you, the German scientists, do with it? How can you make a modern application? So in other words, the American military would say, we think this is a, for instance, power plant. All right, we know it's a nuclear power plant. What can we do? And a good example would be the underground boring machines, the mining machines, which are nuclear powered. The difficulty they had prior to that alien technology was the sheer size of the reactor. To try to put a human-type reactor into a vehicle is very, very difficult. But these reactors that they were obtaining from crashed craft were literally between 3 feet and 6 feet in diameter. And the German scientists were absolutely confounded. They couldn't understand how a nuclear reactor or a cold fusion reactor could be so small and yet produce so much power. So the scientists would look at it and say, well, to be honest, we can only get 10% of the potential from this, but nevertheless, that 10% is greater than anything we have. So between 1965 and 1979, that's what my mother did. Somebody would come to the house, give her the documents, she'd have to sign for them, she would have a spoken tape, because someone would translate them, and she'd have an old machine, she'd have earphones, and she would advance the tape and hear the linguist speak one sentence in German, English, and she would type it out. And at the end of that, she'd be picked up by a Jaguar, it was a green Jaguar, be driven to, in England, Brighton Station on the south coast, and then she would hand the documents to a member of the British Intelligence Service, and they would have code words to pass. Now, when you're growing up in an environment like that, and I was an only child, and my father left when I was about 1 year old, and my mother never remarried, so you just accept what happens around you. And they would, her and whoever would come to visit would talk quite openly in front of me. And Saturdays and Sundays I didn't go to school, and my mother worked at home, so at lunchtime she would go into the kitchen and leave the paperwork on the desk. And say for a good 5 or 6 years, I would, every lunchtime on the weekend, go and read all these documents. Well, now, of course, I know this was all planned. At the time, I just accepted it. But if you were to say, how on earth would the intelligence service allow a 5 to 12-year-old child to be looking at stuff like this? It can only be because that's exactly what they wanted. So my upbringing in terms of that situation was quite unusual. Since a very early age, I've had experience with what people call extraterrestrials, but they're not. Extraterrestrials are aliens that come to us in real time. The aliens that I see are extra dimensional, and that means that they come to us through portal technology. They have to, because it would take thousands of years to travel here if they didn't. And we're talking about the Trachonis reptilians. There are many sorts of reptilians. The ones I refer to are white-skinned, what in British we call the mantid, but in American is referred to as the mantis. And again, I'm familiar with one particular faction or one particular group. I can't be an expert on all the different groups. The greys, which I don't like very much, there are many different types of greys. Another group, which we loosely call the feline species, but more accurately called the Khetkari, and a range of other beings. So I've seen these creatures since probably 6 months old, and I'm very fortunate that none of them have ever hurt me. And that's an important point to recount, because many, many people who are very brave and come forward and talk about the subject recount how they've been hurt by these beings. And that's why I make the point that the group that is interacting with me has never harmed me. So therefore I have to just be clear that that's what I'm speaking about. If you take a cat or a dog to the vet, the very first time you take it to the vet, it's fine. It's just going to a person's house. But as soon as the vet gets on a needle or an injection, then of course the animal associates the veterinary practice with pain and fear. So if you have alien interactions and you are harmed in some way, then you will associate fear with that. So we need to understand where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a position that is probably not representative of the vast majority of people. Many people report some very difficult situations, and I believe what they say. So this is the experience I've had coming up in an intelligence, but not military, but an intelligence family background, being interacted with by off-planet entities. And then by about 2010-2011, I decided enough was enough. I had to share this with people. It seemed too big, and I knew that governments across the world were keeping the truth, and I was prepared to risk everything and go public. And as you would expect, the established media went to town, tried to make me out as a madman, a fool, deluded, or what have you. And they didn't really get what they wanted because I did a lot of BBC interviews. I've been on television, radio, and whenever somebody has tried to belittle me or try to make me out to be insane, because that's what they like to do, they've never won the argument once. And if you've listened to any of the clips, you'll see that those interviewers never want me back again, because they were given a brief to try to do something very childish. It didn't work. And they only invite people back when they think they can, you know, make more of an example of them. So this was the situation until about 2012. And I was invited to tour a radar base in Great Britain. It is probably the third most secret base in the world. And it's actually based in Britain, and it's not far from where I live. It's called Fylingdales Radar. It is the only three-phased array radar in the world. The Americans have a two-phased array, but this looks right back around the globe. And I was invited with a group of others to have a three-hour tour of the radar base. Can you imagine all the media who have been trying to make a fool of me? Suddenly, the Ministry of Defence is inviting me, the man who says his mother worked for MI5, his grandfather worked for MI6, he sees aliens, and they're letting me in their radar base. So this just completely changed the ball game. Suddenly, these directors and studio guys were very confused as to what the agenda was here. And I did have a three-hour tour, and I just recount, it's very funny. I went to the main gate, and I had a member of the family with me, and obviously they're all armed, and the guard said, "Identity, please," and the member of the family handed her passport across, and the security guard, well, he's a Ministry of Defence policeman, looked at the passport, looked back at a member of the family, and did this about three times, checking that the face was the same. I went to hand the guard my ID, and he just held his hand up and said, "Oh no, that won't be necessary." And as we went in, the member of the family said, "Well, obviously they're expecting you, aren't they?" So they knew very well who I was, and I was the only person of, there were about 12 people, all serving the military. I was the only one who wasn't serving. My family member was involved in the military at that point. And I was the only one to be presented with a medal. At the end of the three-hour tour, the lieutenant who was conducting was standing by a cabinet, and I noticed some really lovely medals, like coins, medallion things. I said, "Oh, they look really nice." And he said, "Yes, they are." He said, "It's a special year." He said, "We've been here 50 years this year, 50 years on the site." And the Americans, who really are in control of the radar base, he said, have manufactured these, but we have to pay for them. And he said, "We present them to generals, prime ministers, presidents, senior government ministers. so we can't upsell them. He said, we always ask for a contribution because unfortunately the Americans didn't pay for them. So there was about three of us standing there, and I said, well, do you think you could present one to me? And the two guys behind me burst out laughing. But the lieutenant said, and I quote, I don't see why not. What colour do you like? So I said, well, I'll have the black one, please. So he said, okay, and reached across. He said, you have to make a contribution because, you know, we were going to be out of pocket, get to break even. So I get a £10 note, and he said, now the Americans insist that I take your name. And I said, you know my name, don't you? And he said, yes, I know, but for the record. So he gave him the name. Each medal is numbered. So I have a number 68 out of a worldwide production run of 500. So he had to write my name by 68, and he said to me, you can't sell it, it's not your property, it belongs to the American government, but you may pass it on to a member of the family. So then the two guys who were behind me sort of reached into their wallets and got their money out, and he just closed the case, locked the case, and said to everybody, it's time to go. So, and I'm going to do the question and answer session, I'll probably have a 5 minute break. I'll go and get the medal, and then although probably the picture might be not good, I can at least hold it up to the camera for you, and you can have a look at it. So, I suggest that one half of the elite are trying to help me, and one half of the elite are trying to hinder me. And I think they're absolutely split down the middle. They argue with each other. Since then, I've done TV interviews, radio, and show, and I formed a group called Connecting Consciousness. I looked at people like David Icke, who I have the greatest respect for, Dr. Stephen Greer, and both of those gentlemen tried to change the world, but were stopped because they both went down the road of using the system. So David Icke got a radio station and a TV station, and Dr. Stephen Greer produced a big film. But you know what? The system around us is designed to protect itself. So if you have bank managers and accountants, and buildings, and all the rest of it, it can be taken down. And poor old David Icke literally got thrown out of his own studio. So I decided that when I formed Connecting Consciousness, there would be no buildings, no bank managers, no accountants, just good people around the world. So I have now literally thousands of people in many countries of the world who take part in group meditations, reformed healing groups, remote viewing groups, all with the purpose of actually trying to bring, use the term loosely, ascension, evolution to humanity. And frankly, I don't care what a person's been or done. It's about what they believe in now. And I often say to people, they might say, well, that person looks very reptilian. Why have you let them into our group? And my reply is, according to the establishment, anybody who comes out of the Vatican is supposed to be a really good person. But actually, we know that many of them are pretty not good. And someone who's murdered somebody and done 35 years in prison could come out completely changed and a good person. So it's not where you've been or what you've done. It's what your choice is now and where you're going to. And what sort of a person would I be if I started saying, well, you can't join my group because you look like this, or you can't join my group because, you know, you've got too much reptilian. As long as someone wants the best for humanity and the best for the planet, then they can join Connected Consciousness. So that's the way I've gone. So in the last 6 years, I've gone from telling my story to thinking, all right, Simon, you told your story, that's all well and good, but what can we do to try and help people? What can we do to try and lead people forward? So that's who I am, where I am. I've known Kerry for a little while. Kerry is a really fantastic warrior. What she says is truth, and I'm always delighted to stand shoulder to shoulder with Kerry, because I know that, like me, she's determined that the truth gets out there. You know, it's free will. It's up to you guys what you do with it, but at least you hear it and then you can do your own research. Okay, right, let's get on with this now. You're well aware of what's happened in say, my country, the country I live in England. It voted to leave the European Union, and that is appropriate a little bit for the talk. I wanted to tell you things that do not appear in the newspapers, that don't appear on the television. If we think of a pyramid, and we think of the top percentage of the pyramid, then that's the elite, and then everyone else is under that pyramid. That's the image that many people have. But let us suppose that you divided that top percentage into different types of elite. And I've already said how some parts of the elite support me, and some parts of the elite don't. So let's say that the very pinnacle of the elite wanted Britain to leave the European Union. Now, there's a name here, a guy called George Soros. And George Soros has the infamous title as the man who broke the Bank of England. George Soros has the Soros Foundation. That sounds really good, doesn't it? That foundation sounds like, you know, you help little black children in Africa to have fresh drinking water. Or you might help old people in another country. But sadly, no. The George Soros Foundation has $30 billion to invest, all for George Soros. And do you know that George Soros bet that Britain would leave the European Union? I haven't been told how much money he made, but I have been told that he made a 15% profit. And another member of the Rothschilds also bet that Britain would leave. Now that's key, because all of the other elite members bet that Britain would stay in the European Union. So you've got the majority of the elite feeling betrayed by the very top part of their own organisation. That's why in Great Britain the knives are out. Everyone's headless chicken. They're all sticking knives at each other, doing each other down, because they've got no focus. The top guys have just pulled the money out. So we have a situation where Rupert Murdoch came into the frame, and poor old Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, he's had lots and lots of resignations. But if you look at the resignations, you'll find that they're all supporters of Tony Blair or members of the Fabian Society. And you begin to see a pattern working here. Now, I've got my money, what there is of it, on Theresa May being the next British Prime Minister, because the majority of the elite, not the top pinnacle, but the majority of the elite do not want Britain to leave the European Union. So they're going to try and put in a Prime Minister who is going to try and not let Britain leave the European Union. Now, in the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn is very anti-Europe. Although he campaigned on a pro-ticket, he's very anti. They don't want him in, because if Labour was to win under him, he would carry forward the wishes of the British people. Michael Gove and, of course, Boris Johnson, who's now departed, he would also carry through the wishes of the British people. But Theresa May might not. All right? You know there are three places in the Western world that are not part of the sovereign government. That's the Vatican, Capitol Hill in America, and the City of London. All of these are separate principalities within their country of origin. In other words, they are separately run. And there is a move afoot for England to leave the European Union, but not for the city where all the financial trading is done. Now that's going to be very, very interesting to see how they do that. So we're seeing a great fallout, some great issues coming. And those of you who listen to my radio show, I do two radio shows a month. I've got one tomorrow, Wolf Spirit Radio, it's called. Run by a guy, a really lovely guy called JP. And I've been talking some time now how the American dollar is dead. In fact, officially, corporate America was declared bankrupt in May of this year. And the Americans have a long history of the silver dollar. If you think back to the TV shows of the big silver dollars that the Wild West cowboys would use. So there's a history here, and for the last 7 to 8 years, the United States has been hoarding silver. Now, the last 6 weeks, the elite, the very elite, had a big meeting in Britain to decide their response to a representation from China. China has one-third of the world's gold, and is backing its currency, the yuan, with that. That means it will be the only gold-backed currency on the planet. Very important. And they have offered United States of America the codes to access the banking gold through a German bank, not Deutsche Bank, but through another German bank. But the deal was that America had to move to a silver-backed currency, had to lose the paper dollar and go back to silver. Now, the Rothschild group agreed to that, but then it went to the Bilderberger meeting. Now, the Rothschilds are the executive, the Bilderberger are the committee members, and they had to ratify or not the decision of the executive. The decision of the executive was to accept that offer. I understand that the Bilderberger group did ratify that. So we should expect, in the very near future, America to move to a silver-backed currency. There should be a devaluation or a repegging of the dollar. There will be a repegging of the pound, which is already happening now. And then you're going to have three factions of the world. You're going to have the United States of America on a silver-backed currency. You're going to have China, Russia, and India on a gold-backed currency. And hey-ho, in the middle, George Soros. Because George Soros has been buying gold mines in South America. So what he wants to do is to be the linchpin, the middleman, or as they say in the US, the go-to man, to do deals between America and Russia and China, etc. So we see a real move away from the world that I mean, I'm just over 50. The world I grew up in is going to be very different in the next 5 years. BMW, the big motor company, have said by 2020 they will no longer be building motor cars that run on petrol or diesel. They want to move totally to electric powered cars. So those things that we grew up with in the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s are going to be fundamentally different. And I think what we'll also see is a fundamental difference in the attitude of people. People who have been disempowered, people who feel that they can't make change, people who really think nobody takes any notice of them, and they are basically no better than slaves. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you don't earn very much, and as soon as you earn any money, somebody wants to take that off you, whether it's the government or literally the shop around the corner. And then you have a dwindling amount of money. But it doesn't matter, because next Friday you'll get paid. And that's how most people on this planet live. They live from one payday to the next payday. And that's not what we should be doing. As one off-planet entity alien said to me, I don't understand it. Obviously they don't speak with their mouths, it's all head-to-head, mind-to-mind communication. Said, I don't understand this. You have to pay for the planet you live on. And this is unknown in the multiverse. There is no other planet that I am aware of where creatures that are born on that planet and have a connection to the planet have to pay for heating, pay to drink water, pay to put clothes on, pay to put a roof over your head. It's madness. All because somebody, a very greedy person, has taken those resources and has said, I own this, but I will sell it to you. And who said it was theirs to have in the first place? Just because oil or wind is very prevalent in a part of the world, who gave that person or that organization or that big multinational corporation to say that's ours? Never mind it belongs to the people. That belongs to a group of 7 shareholders, the richest people in the world. But you know what? We'll let you buy it from us. So it's fundamentally wrong. And when you are born on this planet and you grow up, this is what you're taught. So you don't believe it's wrong, because this is the way it's always been. And if you've got £100 in the bank or $100 in the bank, then, oh, I've got 100 in the bank. I must preserve the system, because if the system collapses, I will lose my 100. And that's how they hold people, because the threat is if you bring the system down, then you will lose the thing that's most important to you from their perspective, which is money. Now, in Great Britain, everyone's receiving a letter at the moment from the banks saying that if they have more than £75,000 in the bank, they could lose it. And there's been a misunderstanding here. We know that the banks in the Western world are on the point of stealing, and I'm using the word loosely, that they said they'll return it, everyone's money from their bank account. But the feeling was that if you had, say, £100,000 in the bank, and you were very lucky, the bank would leave you the £75,000 and just take the £25,000 off you. But what they're actually saying is, even if you have £100 in a British bank, they will take that from you, but within 21 days they will return it. So what they're saying is, we know that there's a real difficult situation coming. We have the legal right to take all of your money out of your bank, but as long as you have less than £75,000, we will return it to you in 21 days. And clearly what they're saying here is, 21 days is enough time for us to, you know, devalue the currency and sort it all out. So what sort of a country is it where if a man stops you in the street with a knife or a gun and says, give me £5 or I'll kill you, what's the difference between that and the bank saying, we're taking all your money out of your bank account at 5 minutes to midnight, and there's nothing you can do about it because it's illegal? So maybe the human race has got to have a bit of a shock to actually question the world it's in, to question its own values, to question the values of the system, and to question why it's been lied to for so long. And then we move on to our second point, which is the release of technologies. It isn't the fact that there are aliens out there. That's not the problem. You know, there are many people in government who want to tell you the truth. There are aliens, but it wouldn't stop there. How that would follow on is literally, okay, what have the aliens given you? And they would have to be very honest, wouldn't they, and say, well, actually, we've had a cure for cancer for 35 years. I ask you, when's the last time a president or a prime minister had cancer in office? When's the last time a leader developed cancer and died while in office? I can tell you that someone from the elite does not have chemotherapy. As a veterinary surgeon once said to me when I was asking about an animal that was having chemo, because cats and dogs can have chemo, and I said to the vet, why does the dog's hair fall out? And his reply was, because we don't overdose dogs like we do humans. And that was very interesting. So the more you read, the more you learn, the more skeptical you become of the information that we've been given as truth by the establishment. I remember 5 or 6 years ago, somebody sending me a clip from their mobile phone of 100,000 Jews, 100,000, that's a lot for a small country, all demonstrating in central Tel Aviv that they didn't want war with the Palestinians. They wanted peace, but not any of that made it to the mainstream newspapers or television channels. And yet, for the last 3 months in Great Britain, night after night after night, the BBC has carried pictures of thousands of migrants forcing across borders, desperate for work, unemployed, no food, no medicine. They knew very well that they were fueling the Britain exit campaign. Every time they showed a picture of thousands of people rushing borders, that was another vote into the ballot box to leave the European Union. These people aren't stupid. If they really wanted to keep Britain in the European Union, they would not have hit audiences night after night with that. So we know that the very, very elite who control the BBC, control CNN, Fox News, and just about everyone else, had been given instructions that they were to carry this triad of lots and lots of young men who don't get a job, don't speak the local language, and will rape women and rob your shops. The economy is going to go down the drain, there's going to be no jobs, and basically your country is going to be swamped. Now that was the three messages that were coming across from the established BBC, although it was hidden, not obviously as I've just portrayed it, but some of the newspapers did. And it's no surprise to me that Britain voted to leave. And, you know, it was just crazy that the vast majority of the elite, right up to 1 minute after the polls closed, were still betting very heavily that Britain would stay in the European Union. But those who really were pulling the strings knew otherwise. So these people don't want to tell you that they have a cure for cancer. They don't want to tell you that actually we have a motor car that runs on hydrogen, and we've had that since the mid-1950s. They don't want to tell you that they have a device that flies through the air without burning kerosene or anything like that, rocket fuel. They don't want to tell you they have a secret space fleet that's actually been to Mars. They don't want to tell you that the landing on the moon in 1969 was a complete hoax. So it isn't they don't want to tell you about aliens. It's that that will leave the door open to lots and lots of questions, which actually are more hard-hitting. People will accept the fact, by and large, that we are not the only intelligent thing in space. But they won't accept the fact that their beloved grandmother died of cancer when there is a machine that could have cured her in about 2 days. So that is the reason why these people have dug themselves into a hole and can't now come out and be honest. So when things change, and they are going to change very soon in our lifetimes, these people are going to have to either be very brave, stand before us and say, do you know what, we made a mistake and we're really sorry. And then other people than I will have to judge them. But there are going to be another group of people who will say, to hell with this, we're not going to take the rap for this, we're going to go down fighting. Or some people will just do what the Nazis did at the fall of Germany and just put a disguise on and go and live in South America or something like that. So these are very exciting times. And anybody who's alive on the planet today, this is a wonderful time to be here. I know that maybe sounds a bit odd, but we are going to survive. Humanity is going to evolve. They can't stop us. And I've always said that it's going to be a bit of a bumpy journey, a bit rough, but we will get there in the end. I don't know what condition we'll be in, but we will get there in the end. And what a fabulous opportunity to be here and see all the changes unfolding. And maybe hopefully to play a small part in that. No one person can do everything. And if we all work together, whatever that might be, then we can bring about a change. And that's why I form Connected Consciousness, because I cannot be everywhere at once, and I wouldn't want to be. And I don't speak all the different languages of different countries. So by having groups in different countries, I get a constant stream of information as to what is occurring in those countries. And I can give warnings. So, for instance, I've given a warning, and I'm going to do an official warning to everyone on the California coast, that there are three individuals. Two individuals want to use the HAARP machine to cause the San Andreas fault to become active before the presidential election in November. The third member of the group is inclined to have the earthquake after presidential election, and at the moment they can't decide. I've been told that they're aiming for a size 7 on the Richter scale. They don't want lots and lots of death. What they want is lots of disruption, roads or highways broken, power lines down, the cell phone network out of action. Then they can bring in martial law because they really don't like California. So that's aimed for September. So I'm producing a document which will go to all Connected Consciousness members, telling them how to prepare for this. That's a backstop. What I am also doing is going to have a worldwide meditation group that we will need to be protected by remote viewers, because a lot of these guys have bad magicians around them. And I want to try and positively affect the minds of these people to say, you know, come on, join the human race. You can't be doing this. I cannot sit back and do nothing. I am going to do my utmost with all good-willed, pure people to try to prevent this occurring. But if something goes wrong, then at least those people who hear me, listen to me, and other people, of course, I'm not the only one who gives warnings, that they will at least prepare for a situation. So it's positive in the sense that we're going to come out the other end, but we are going to take a few knocks and bangs as we move towards it. Okay, it's now about 4:30. Kerry, how are we doing for time?
I think we're fine, actually. You're in good time. What time do we have here, you guys?
It's 5:30.
So we're an hour later than you.
Yeah, it's 4:30 for me.
Okay, no problem. And you have, I believe you have a half hour to go at least. So.
Well, why don't we go for question and answers for this half hour that's left?
That's fine, absolutely. And let me just say, excellent presentation. Could we give him a hand for that? Because I'm
That's very kind of you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Simon, for going on the limb like that. That's brilliant. Lovely, lovely, lovely information. Okay, so I'm turning the camera around so you can see the audience for the session we're going to do. All right? And so here we go. Be real careful with the connections here.
Okay, hold on.
Now, how are you for seeing the audience? Is that a good...
That's absolutely fine, Kerry. It's lovely.
Okay. And let me just, you know, I'm just going to do sort of a panorama here so you can see all areas. If you're in the back and you'd like him to see you because you want to ask a question and you think it'd be better if he can see your face, then feel free to kind of move. We have some empty chairs here on the very front. So you're welcome to move if you need to. Or if you just want to move when you ask your question, you could do that. Or you could stand up when you ask your question. So however you want to do it, it does help Simon to see you, obviously, if he's going to answer a question. Okay, Simon, go right ahead.
Okay, all right. I think what would be quite good to think about what's relevant to you. I'm not going to answer any questions about great Auntie Bertha, who passed away 3 years ago, and please can you tell me if I'll see her at the marketplace. But if you have questions on any subject that I've discussed, whether it's off-planet entities, aliens, whether it's about the Illuminati, the New World Order, Agenda 21, demons, demonic, satanic, anything like that, I'm happy to give it a go. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you plainly that I don't know. I don't make it up. I'm not a researcher. Let me make that clear. I do not research. All I do when I'm doing a presentation, when I'm at the conference, I will write my presentation and I will go online to see if there's any pictures or drawings that can back up my presentation. So for instance, I was asked to do a talk on demons, and I did one, and of course I could go to Notre Dame Cathedral online and take some of the gargoyle pictures, because many of the gargoyles are modelled on jinn or demonics. So when I answer your question, I'm answering it from personal information, either what these ears, eyes or brain has seen, or what someone from the British intelligence or the CIA has told me, or an off-planet entity has told me. I am not going to answer a question because I read something in a magazine. So that's the caveat. So please, if you have any questions, I'm really happy to have a go at them.
Okay, and if you want, we can give a mic to a person, whoever wants to ask a question, if you'd like to do that. So first person, why don't you stand up and I'll come over here and you can ask the question using the mic, if you don't mind. That way, Simon, come around this way. And just go right ahead and sort of stand in front over by Neil. Go ahead and, that way, Neil... And actually, Neil, what I'd like you to do is not show the person. So show his back. Is that right? I prefer not to show the audience in the video because we are going to put it online. So they'll hear your voice, but they won't. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to use last names. No last names. It's just better for you, okay? And no offense, Simon. It's just we want to protect our audience members.
That's absolutely fine. I've got no problem with that at all.
Okay. So go ahead.
Hello, Simon.
Hello.
No, I would like to ask, please. My understanding is that there are what you might call parallel universes where history is developing slightly or very differently from each other. And from what I can understand, there are two basic timelines. One where the Earth is ascending and one where humanity, the whole Earth practically, is being destroyed. I would like to ask your opinion, please. What do you think, on what timeline we are? Because I made a little research recently, and I sort of connected the dots. There's an old prophecy by Saint Malachy, said that the present Pope would be the last one. Baba Vanga, the Bulgarian mystic, said that the last president will be black, and there is a presidential election at the end of this year. Bob Dean, when Kerry interviewed him, said Nibiru should appear later than 2017. So all these things together, they are indicative. Something is going to happen between now and the next year. So I would like to ask, what do you think, where do you see things are going? For example, will there be a Carrington event? Will Bitcoin manage to...
Yeah, got lots of questions here. Yeah. I should explain that I have dyslexia. So if you ask me lots of questions, you're not going to get lots of answers. You'll just get one answer for the question I remembered. But I'm going to start with timelines. You talked about timelines. Over the last 25 years, we have been backwards and forwards three times. Bad guys had us on a timeline, the good guys pulled us onto a positive timeline, then the bad guys pulled us back onto a bad timeline, and then finally we've been pulled onto a positive timeline. Positive for humanity, not necessarily positive for any one country. Remember, if you're an elite in the United States of America, a positive timeline for you is for America being strong and you keeping your job. But the timeline we're on now is a positive one for humanity. Now, you talked about two timelines. There are many more than two. Since the 1960s, the Americans particularly have undertaken, I know there was the 1940 sending the battleship through, but I'm talking much more controlled experiments. Since the 1960s, looking at the future, sending particularly children through into the future, and then trying to see if they can collect them back, and seeing what timelines they were observing. The last sort of 10 years, we've had lots of fear stories about America being swamped by a tidal wave, Nibiru coming through and killing everybody. I don't subscribe to the Nibiru line. I really don't. I do subscribe to an object entering our solar system and coming quite close to the planet and causing a disruption, but I do not ever accept that the planet is going to be destroyed. This planet Earth is the most wonderful, I use an alien term, water world. That's how they refer to the planet Earth. There are very, very few water worlds anywhere. The one I'm aware of is in the fourth dimension, in the Sirius or Sirius star planet constellation. They're so rare that nobody off planet is going to sit back and let this planet be destroyed. It's too important. Doesn't mean there won't be an object entering the universe, but I really don't go down the road of us being wiped out. So there are many timelines. We're on a positive timeline, and we're fixed. When we went through the 31st of December 2012, we fixed our position. For those of you who have researched the subject, you'll know of RAF Bentwaters, or called Rendlesham. It's called the Roswell incident of the United Kingdom. That occurred precisely before the years of 2012, because they had to collect DNA, because as humans move towards 2012, our energy signatures in our bodies changed. So it's a vital moment, and we went through that portal, and now we are fixed. Last Pope, last President, that's interesting. I don't think I agree with that. What I agree is the last Pope and the last President to operate under the instructions that they have done for the last couple of hundred years. So it isn't the end of that system, but it is the end of the backing for that system. So anybody who takes position in office will not be able to play the games they've always done. So steady as she goes, that's no longer on the cards. I think that the changes coming won't just affect the Western world, and I think they'll affect everywhere. And I think there'll be a great lifting of the veil from members of the public who will no longer accept leaders under the same situation that we have done for the last few years. So, no, it's not going to be the last president, it won't be the last pope, but it will be the last in the system that we understand. When the Mayan calendar was very badly translated, everybody who perhaps jumped too quickly thought it meant the end of the world. It didn't. What it meant was the end of the world of the energy signature, the end of control, a new beginning. And that's what we're looking at. So I'm not going to go down the Theo road. Very briefly, I did a talk for a very able man called Miles Johnson, very able because he's technically very brilliantly skilled. And he organized a conference in Britain 2 years ago. And I did my conference talk, and I came out, and an American came over to me and said, I'd like to buy you lunch and have a talk to you. And during the conversation, he said to me that his employers, had told him, and I'll quote, "You've come across my radar because my employers have made me aware of you." And he said that his employers, and he never told me who they were, his employers believed everything that I said, and they'd sent him to offer me a deal. So I thought, here we go, this is really interesting. And I called somebody over. I wanted an independent witness. So, I'll have lunch with me. And I got this person who I know quite well, sit down with him, overhear this conversation. And this guy said that he had one question for me, and if I was prepared to answer the question, he was then prepared to tell me what was on the table. So I said, I have no worries, you just ask me the question, and if I can answer it, I will. So he asked me a question. It was so complicated, it took me 2 days to answer it at three different sessions. Once in the car park, once sitting around eating a meal, and once somewhere else. And he said to me, the deal is that I'm empowered to provide you with bodyguards and armoured cars and a nuclear bunker under Salisbury Plain for you and your loved ones. Now, if I'd agreed to that, I would have bought in to the catastrophe scenario. Oh yes, that's lovely, I've got an underground bunker. I'm almost saying, that's fine, you can drop bombs on me, I'm alright, I'm in a bunker, everyone else can just tuck it out. So I didn't want that. And I said, that's a very kind offer, but no. Actually, I'll be really honest with you, I was really quite keen on the smoked armoured black limousines. That was actually quite exciting. I could go to the local supermarket in an armoured car. I liked the idea of that. But as to the nuclear bunker, no, I wasn't going to have any of that. So you need to understand that you create your own reality. And many of you who are old hands at this, you know that already. You create the energies around you, you make things happen, and that's what the elite don't want you to know, that you can actually change history and the future. You can change it particularly around yourself. So if you have a very positive frame of mind, and you live a life that is looking to the future positively, then we have every hope that that is what will come. So thank you for the question, it's a really good question. But I do not believe that we are entering a period of disaster. We're entering a period of difficulty. Thank you. Next question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, come along.
Good afternoon, Simon.
Hello.
Good evening. Two questions, really. How much notice will we get before there's a run on the banks? And secondly, if the world now is in a positive phase for humanity, where do chemtrails, GMO and vaccines sit with all of that? Because there seems to be no relenting on that side of things. Thank you.
Fine. Good questions. Right. Let's do it in reverse order. The general public won't get any notice for a run on the bank. The plan is 1 minute to midnight to empty everyone's bank account. So when the hand reaches midnight, it's all done and dusted. There'll be no warning. If they give you a warning, you'll take your money out and put it under your bed. Yeah. They don't want that, they want your money. So they won't give you a warning. I will get a warning. I'll probably get between 3 hours and 6 hours warning. But basically, the general public won't get a warning. So that's the answer to that one. The second one is a very, very good question. It's basically saying, Well, wait a minute. If everything's going to be okay and we're doing really well and we're on the right path, how are these bad guys still in charge? And the point is that they're still in charge because we're still letting them be in charge. Humanity is waking up. In my country, we have a big history of horrible things like child abuse, which are hidden and hidden and hidden and never come out. And then we heard all about Jimmy Savile. Now, Jimmy Savile did what he did for 50 years. And then suddenly, they couldn't keep the lid on it any longer. And this is what I mean by the advancement of humanity. People are changing. It's becoming harder and harder for the elite to keep things from the public. The Savile case is very, very interesting, simply because it was completely hushed up and contained, and then the lid blew off it. And more and more cases are coming out now. I'm not saying that the full guilty people are being convicted, but what I am saying is that many things that had been successfully hidden from the public will not be hidden. Now, chemtrailing is an interesting point, because 6 to 8 months ago, chemtrails were reduced by about 95% over Great Britain and about 25% over America, when the black budget for those dried up completely. Now, they have actually started it again, but it's only operating at about 50 to 60% of what it was a year ago. And this will reduce. The thing we're more worried about is vaccinations. I'm more worried about vaccinations as a ploy to try to control people. Although chemtrails are obviously very bad for people, and by the way, if you can take vitamin D3, that is the best defense against the bacteria stroke virus that's actually in the chemtrailing. And there's no coincidence that the Australian government is in the process of banning all vitamin sales to the Australian people. That may sound shocking, but that's exactly what's happening. The Americans have closed a vitamin factory in Hawaii, and they are trying to label vitamins as poison. There is an official YouTube video from the United States that's already got 2 or 3 million hits, where you've got these doctors telling people that it can give you a heart attack. So I want to stop people taking vitamins so that they will succumb to chemtrailing and the irradiation of food which has no vitamins or goodness in it at all. So whilst we're on a positive timeline, and there's undoubtedly evidence showing that the elite are losing control, the key levers of power are still in their hands. And then from an alien perspective, I've always taken people to task who go on a conference and say, all the reptilians are gone, and all the Illuminati have been arrested. And I just say, no, they haven't, because this is still in place, that is still in place. Yes, it's reduced. There are probably around 220 Draconis reptilians left on the planet, in the planet. But those people are still in charge and still in control. But they're losing control. So around the periphery of their control, it's going. But we can still expect chemtrails. We can still expect false flags. And it won't change overnight unless there's an economic crash. If there's an economic crash, then all bets are off. So that's a really good question. Thank you for asking that. I appreciate that.
Okay. Anyone else want to come forward? Come on.
Don't be shy. I'm really nice.
Hello, Simon.
Hello, Madame.
I'd like to ask you about these kids who are forcibly vaccinated. In our country, it's illegal not to vaccinate. Is there anything we can do to counter-effect the effects of these vaccinations on them?
Thank you. Well, obviously, you are very spiritually aware and you've done your homework. For those who don't have children, or at least you have children in a country that hasn't got that instruction. I need to explain that many countries have a rule in their own lawmaking or their parliament, which means that if your child dies directly of a vaccination, you cannot take that organisation to court. So if you have a young girl and she's 12 years old, 13 years old, and she has the vaccination for the chlamydia virus, and she dies of that vaccination, you legally can do nothing about it. Now, why would a government put legislation in like that? If you get knocked down by a police car and you know you are in the right, you will get compensation. If you have an injury at work or in a supermarket, it wasn't your fault, you can get compensation. So we should immediately be suspicious of a government that forces you to have a vaccination and then doesn't give you any rights if it goes wrong. Vaccinations are designed to lower, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not a doctor, I don't pretend to be one, as far as I'm concerned, some vaccinations are good. You know, definitely some of them do help. But the ones that seem to be multiple jabs, I think, lower a person's vibrational frequency. In this country, England, you are required to have your children vaccinated at school. If the parent refuses, you can then get away with it. But if the child wants the vaccination and the parent says no, they will vaccinate. Now, any other rule, if the child is under 18, the parent has the say in what happens, but not in vaccinations in Great Britain. If you are 11 years old and you want the vaccination, regardless of what the mother says, they will vaccinate against the mother's wishes. This is disgraceful. In the United States of America, they passed a law that every newborn baby must be vaccinated. They passed a law that you can't take your child to a nursery or a child playgroup unless they've been vaccinated. So I know people who are literally selling their houses or moving to different countries or different states so that they are not having to do that. Okay, your question was, what can we do if those children are vaccinated? I can only offer you suggestions. It's not my job to tell you what to do. I believe in free will. Best way for me to answer it was, if I had a child, I wouldn't let them be vaccinated. But if they did, then I would make sure that I had full vitamin supplements for that child, that they didn't drink any water that contained fluoride, they didn't clean their teeth with a toothpaste that contained fluoride, and I would teach them how to meditate, teach them how to leave their body, and try to start to repair any damage to their DNA or to their communication systems in terms of energy that that vaccination may have done. And you can find good, decent, very gifted psychic people on the internet who will be able to help you. So that's my best advice to you, and I hope that's helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just a note, I would also recommend what's called MMS. Jim Humble is a doctor who's actually, there's a lot of, the authorities are arranged against him, but we've done several interviews with him, and I myself have used MMS. I do say that it's quite potent, and I suggest you use it in very tiny bits. But they're also seeing some successful approaches. I've done an interview with a woman whose child had autism and has had some progress in that area as well. But also, if you give MMS right after the vaccine, it cleans it out of the system. So just drops very carefully, following their directions for children and all that kind of thing. Be very careful, but that's my advice on that.
Kerry, thank you. I should have mentioned it. So thanks ever so much. That's a good point. The other one is I've got a Skype with a gentleman who's created one of the machines from the Keshe Foundation. Keshe Foundation have come up with machines to save your electricity, but they've also come up with some healing machines. And I have a Skype with someone who's built one of these machines, who's asked me for protection because he's very concerned that the elite will either kill him or steal his machine. So I have a Skype with him, and I need to learn whether this machine is genuine, whether it does what it does. So there are now things coming out on the planet that actually can help. You have to be a Sherlock Holmes and go and be a good detective and go and work on personal recommendation. And if someone's had a good response for something, then you want to investigate that. So yes, that's my way forward.
Okay, and we will have a medical disclaimer on here just to ensure ourselves and Simon as well. So we are only talking on a personal level here. Okay, any other questions?
What a well-behaved group. I normally get like hundreds. I don't know why, it's fine. I suppose I could just wrap it up then and say
we have somebody here.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very quiet, a lovely person here, go right ahead.
Have you heard about the use of essential oils to protect ourselves from the vaccinations and the chemtrails?
I have heard, but I haven't had anybody try it out. I've been trying to get the constituents of what the oils are, and I'm not clear whether it's the oils themselves that are beneficial or whether there is a psychic interaction at the moment you put the molecules onto your skin. So I can't really talk about it because I haven't got any information on it. I'm aware that there is that anecdotal evidence going around, but from a personal point of view, I don't know enough about it.
Thank you. It'd be lovely. This is Angela Donovan. I don't know if you've met yet, but she's the next speaker, and she wants to ask you a question. And she's
all right. Hello, Angela. Hi.
Hi, Simon.
A fascinating woman. Okay.
Take that back. Darling, I just wanted to ask one question. I'm afraid I slipped out for a while, so I've missed if you've answered anything like this. I just wanted to ask you if you're aware that any of these wonderful beings that you are aware of are underground.
God, yes. the Draconis live entirely underground. They have major bases under the Vatican, what we call Capitol Hill. These are populous centres. They also have entry points in some of the big hospitals for purposes that we haven't got enough time to go into at the moment.
No one really wants to hear that one.
Yeah, also some of the military bases that the United States have as a joint shared venture. Most of the grey bases have been decommissioned. There are still a few under the ocean, but most of the grey bases are no longer operational. There is a native form of reptilian that I'm familiar with that lives in the planet. It's been left alone because it basically doesn't want anything to do with humanity, and therefore it's benign in the sense that it doesn't emerge up onto the surface and cause any problems. There are a couple of other groups. Mossad, the Israeli Intelligence Service, have a connection with off-planet entities that they channel, a bit like the Alder Devereux group, but they have representatives based in high Israeli government, and they have some underground bases. The Russians are being instructed by Nordic-type aliens who live in parts not far from the Kremlin. But generally speaking, most of these entities are off-planet. They will teleport in, for want of a better word, do the deal, do the business, and then disappear again. Those who are on secondment, and that may sound very odd, but there are aliens who are seconded, especially to the space fleet, and the United States Navy. They have a very strong connection with a reptilian type faction, sometimes called Raptors. So nearly every faction of the Earth's military that's part of an elite group will have a connection, and some of their armed and controller elements are based on the ground. But we would always think of the Draconis Reptilian as the number one group buried underground. In terms of what we might call the Agatha, under some of the poles of this planet, there are groups of what I call higher humans. These are humans of fifth dimensional type who can trace the history back to the war between Lemuria and Atlantis, and who just washed their hands of it all and took themselves away, and are under a great deal of pressure now to come back out and to try and to help the forces of good. So the best place to hide from prying eyes and spy satellites is under the ground, and so that's where many bases still operation. So thanks for the question.
Yeah, but one more thing, can I just ask? Yeah. I asked specifically because of in the UK. Because I entered one of these bases.
Okay. All right, well, I'll go through a list of them and you can stop me when we get to the right one. You can help me by saying, in the UK, north, south, east or west?
south, southwest.
Right. There's a big base under near the Malvern Hills, not far from Worcester. There's a large base in Wiltshire, not far from Salisbury Plain.
That would be the one possible.
Then if we move towards, I suppose we could just call Southampton and Portsmouth still in that location. There's a base, Southampton and Portsmouth. And then if we move up towards the Cotswolds, there's a base there. Those are the bases that I'm familiar with. Any of those ring a bell with you?
Yes, possibly Wiltshire, because I'm on the waters, but also because where I went, I didn't go in my physical, but I went there to snoop, just to see if they were there. But I was I was noted. I think my etheric was there. And I was followed back. But I was followed back not by a physical. I was followed back, and a cube with the head of a reptilian actually came and visited me in the bedroom. And of course I turned around and saw him, and so very clever. So there was no communication other than my saying, that was very clever of you. And then he disappears.
Well, that's interesting, because the cube is Orion technology.
It might not be a cube as such, it was like a TV screen, if you like, a protection for him.
Okay,
to
right.
Get me, sorry, it's just that.
Right, okay. If it's a screen, then that's a holographic representation.
Yeah.
The Orion Empire, which is a grey, part of the grey, small grey group now, but other reptilian groups, would use that technology together. And grey technology is used dramatically on this planet for bad purposes. The base that you're talking about, could it have been the New Forest?
No.
All right, okay, because there was a reptilian complex under the New Forest. The one in Wiltshire is a combined base. It's a combined base of Black Ops, human military, and reptilian.
Yeah.
Divided into levels. The top level is the human group, and then the reptilian group is underneath it. Now, it sounds to me more likely you went there.
Yeah, I'm four levels down.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, okay. You found it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, to me, an amusement that obviously I was seeing, and I hope not.
Right, well, the first three levels are human controlled.
Yeah.
The fourth level is all electronically controlled, and also psychically protected. So when you penetrated into the fourth level, then basically what would happen is that the cameras wouldn't see that, psychics would detect it, and then you create a trail when you return back to your body, and they just follow the trail in.
Yeah, creeps. Yeah. Thank you, Simon, for that.
Pleasure. And really good luck with your talk, my love.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions?
Yeah,
it's a very, they're very polite, as you might have noticed, but they are all, very carefully, holding their questions very carefully. So we do have a few more, if you have the time for it.
Yeah, I do. The reason I do this is because I need to communicate with people. It's very important to me. So, I'll sit here as long as it takes to get these questions done.
Okay. Actually, before we start, I just want to ask you a quick one that's related to what you were just saying. Since we have a Maltese audience here, what about the hypogeum, the beings below the hypogeum? Are you aware of those, and can you say anything about that?
Right, I'm not aware of them personally. I haven't connected with them, but I am aware that they're real and they exist, because the beings or aliens that I speak to or communicate with have mentioned them. And all I gain from them is that they have a long history of working with, it's really difficult to try and put this into words, they have a long history of working with people who are, when I say this simple, I don't mean in the English way stupid. I mean simple in the terms of a very pure understanding of the way the planet and the stars work. So this particular energy force, it was described to me as beings of a consciousness who can bud off and create individuals but all go back into one consciousness, have a covenant with the planet Earth, and tend to work with humans who are very pure of heart and want to live in conjunction with nature. Now, that is the group that I understand they set off like that. Now, whether they maintain that good course or whether they got corrupted, I have no idea. But that is all the information I was given.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Joe. I know that the world is going through a big change. I for one can feel it, and I was wondering whether how we feature at this part of the world, talking about Malta.
That's a good question. There are two ways to look at it. There's the way that it features in the newspapers, the politicians, and then there's the way it features of human consciousness. To politics, it's all about what you own, what you control, and its geographical location in terms of a military or a political influence on surrounding neighbours. From the human consciousness point of view, it depends on the energy of your location. So Ireland is a very, very energetic country. Actually, England is, and so is Malta. Where a country has many, many centuries of, and I was talking a little bit about that in terms of the energy connection between the planet and the living beings, it creates a resonance which hangs around that location. Now, those countries will fare better than those that have had great factories built on them, have had many wars and many dead battlefields, where the energy is very dense and the connection with the planet has been lost or weakened. But where a country, as yours does, has many monuments, many interesting artifacts, which still hold the resonation of the people that made them, and thus to the connection of your land, is unbroken. And so, as long as the people of your country, Malta, maintain that commitment, you will fare far better. So it's one of the places that will see less disruption than anywhere else. So I hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next person.
Hello, Simon.
Hi.
I was just wondering, in your opinion, who or what do you think is at the pinnacle of the pyramid or has the most amount of power or control over humanity? And one other question, do you have an update on the Large Hadron Collider situation? And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you referring to the physical pyramid of Giza, or are you referring to the pyramid in terms of the way the world is controlled?
The pyramid in terms of the way the world is controlled. And, yeah. all the dimensional levels of power and all that type of thing.
Thank you. The organization that is at the top of the pyramid is called the Great White Brotherhood. Look like Ku Klux Klan, but they're not. So the Great White Brotherhood is the organization that is at the top of the pyramid. But your question is very, very particular. I like your question, and the answer is it's a reptilian. The very, very top of the pyramid is a reptilian, a Draconis reptilian. Below the Draconis reptilian, there are a number of family members of the Draconis reptilian, and then below that you have people like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Dick Cheney, so on and so forth. So the humans aren't at the very pinnacle, but they're very close to the pinnacle. And I've forgotten your second question. What was your second question?
It was an update on the situation with the Large Hadron Collider, since you've mentioned it before.
Right, thank you. For those of you who don't know, last year, Connecting Consciousness did a group meditation. I've got to be very careful what I say. Did a group meditation to help humanity, and it is documented through official statistics that the Hadron Collider actually turned off during our group meditation. And that's a fact, it can't be disputed, the evidence is there. It was very important that Connecting Consciousness did what it did because the Earth was in a very key position in terms of the solar system and the energies. And I'm not overly worried about the Hadron Collider now because we moved sufficiently from what we call galactic center. Yes, the Hadron Collider can do some things which are pretty unpleasant and not helpful, but the major objective that some of these people were attempting to do will never come, that chance will never come again. Now, for those of you again who haven't had the time or the chance to look into this, official science has actually admitted that the Hadron Collider was able to punch a hole into the fourth dimension. So official science is actually admitting that the fourth dimension exists, which is brilliant because myself and others have been talking about the fourth dimension for a long time. They punched a hole, according to them, about 0.8 of a millimeter wide. What they wanted to do, ladies and gentlemen, was to punch a hole many meters wide, many feet wide. Simply because they wanted to bring reinforcements in. Do you remember I talked at the beginning of my presentation that an extraterrestrial comes in a spaceship, may take 25 years, 30 years to get here, but an extra dimensional comes through a portal. So they were trying to open a portal to somewhere else to bring in negative reinforcements. That didn't happen because just by coincidence when Connected Consciousness was doing its group meditation on the Hadron Collider, unfortunately the Hadron Collider stopped working and shut down. And for your information, Hadron Collider uses at peak output 12% of the total electricity in France. The total electricity to power the Hadron Collider is equal to 12% of the potential generation of electricity in all of France. Now what happened is that by some really coincidental situation during the group meditation, the main generators at the Hadron Collider shut down. So they have a backup, which is Switzerland. So they then went to Switzerland and took all their electricity, but that can only provide 35% of the electricity the Hadron Collider needed. And that meant they didn't have enough energy, and that's why they only punched a hole 0.8 of a millimeter through. The Earth has a natural biorhythm. It's like what we call a sine wave. It runs like that. What these bad guys wanted to do was to run, like a man or a woman on a surfboard, on a wave. So they wanted to follow it, and then on the upswing, use that to boost up. But obviously, by coincidence, when Connected Consciousness did the meditation and it failed, they couldn't do that. But that opportunity has gone from them. Since then, they've got a real big problem. They have an entity that is inside one of the tubes. The Hadron Collider consists of a massive tube, an acceleration tube, and something with the consciousness has got into that tube and it's running about and causing problems. So whilst Hadron Collider can give us more issues, I am not concerned with it anymore, because the safety of humanity cannot be threatened by that device.
Okay. Well, before we get to you, let's make sure there's not somebody else, since you were here. Is there anyone else? Come on. And then, just because I think we, what time is it? Does anyone have it?
6:20.
Yeah, we want to go to Angela. She's been very patient. And we will let you go. I know you're working very hard, Simon. It's lovely to hear all of this from you.
Well, listen, it's been wonderful. I want to thank everybody, old or new, whether you woke up to the reality today or whether you've been doing it for 40, 50 years. No one is better than anyone else. Let's get that absolutely clear. Nobody is better than anyone else. We are all here to support each other and to look out for each other. And if we work as a team, then we will survive. And that's the main thing. So, listen, God bless you all. Thank you for being so...
Okay, wait 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry because you can't see everything. We have one last question. I do want to give you a chance. Okay.
Just for you.
Thank you.
Hi, Simon. Hi. Relating to something you said in your presentation about this seemingly challenges in the elites and the Brexit and why we moved out of the European Union, some of the bettings going on, do you see the move to move out of Brexit and whoever in the elite was betting that we would, why do you feel in the elite right now there is some kind of confrontation between or split in the middle, and is the Brexit a good thing for humanity? Are these elite forces that have humanity's best interests or heart or not?
Thank you. The people who at the very top wanted the Brexit, their plan is to suck all of the wealth out of the Western world before it collapses. That's purely what they want to do. When 9/11, when the two Twin Towers came down, a number of agendas were covered, and Larry Silverstein made $1 billion payout for that. And in the same way, George Soros and other members of the elite have made a large amount of money out of the removal of Britain from the European Union. So it's about sucking the wealth out of the Western world. And there was a second question, and I can't remember what that was now.
Oh, okay, I think the second question, and you certainly can be short, I think was, in essence, is which is good for humanity, is Brexit or not?
It is good, because it has shown the public that they can effect change. I voted to leave. I didn't vote to leave because I'm a racist or I don't like migrants. I voted to leave because I don't like multi-corporations. I don't like one world European government. I don't like bureaucrats in 12-story buildings producing laws and rules that they don't have to follow by. And undoubtedly, many people voted to leave Europe because they don't like migrants. I'm not going to be an apologist for them. But a large number of people have voted to exit Europe because they are so disenfranchised from the system. They are so angry with the elite, with the politicians in Westminster, in London, and they feel so alienated that they believe they've got nothing to lose. Now, on one hand, that's very sad, but on another hand, those people achieved something that the newspapers told them they couldn't. And that was to take back their own destiny. When you look at the results, and I've looked at the results very carefully, apart from London, there are only a handful of towns in the whole of England and Wales that voted to stay in Europe. Nearly, and this is a fact, nearly every town, village, city voted to leave. And that's because outside of London, there's a great disconnect between those that have something and those that don't. Right, listen, thank you. I've said thanks a lot. I just want to thank Kerry and the team. It's really, really kind to give me the opportunity. I hope that you've enjoyed my presentation, and I hope that you might find the time to do a bit of research and listen to my radio show tomorrow, Wolf Spirit Radio, and maybe you can put a question if you didn't get a chance today, and I'll try and answer it. So God bless. Kerry, I love you very much, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.